Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
Final countdown. That's right. It's the final countdown. For those of you who know, Wellspring moved into this building this summer. We moved in on June 28th to our new home. And on September 13th, that's our official grand opening to the community, to Myrtle Beach. And we are really excited about that. And so what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is we're going to talk about some steps I believe we should take as a church to kind of put the final pieces in place, to pick the final countdown, the final steps I believe God wants us to take as a church to position ourselves to be able to have maximum impact here in Myrtle Beach. And here's the cool thing. Some of you are guests today. Like, you already came. You came early. We're so glad you're here. You went ahead and came because school started back and you were like, life is good. I better go thank Jesus the school started back. So, you know, you're here and we're honored that you're here. Here's the cool thing about the three steps we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about three things, one each week, that I want us all to take to prepare for grand opening. And even if it is your very first time here, even if you don't believe in God, you can take all three of these steps. One of the things we say at Wellspring is that we invite people to belong before they believe. And so you can belong to our group. You can even participate in what we're doing before you believe everything we believe. So let me go ahead and tell you right at the top the three things I want you to do. And yes, there are three things. I'm going back to my Baptist roots a little bit. I have 3 points over the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about one each week. I am a recovering Baptist, as I say all the time, and it just came out with me with this series. But there are three things I'm going to ask everybody to pray about and do as we get ready for grand opening. Here are the three things. Number one, I'm going to ask you to join a circle. That's what we're going to talk about today. Next week, I'm going to challenge you to play your role. See, I believe everybody has a role to play in God's story. And you may say, but I don't believe in God yet. Well, that's your first step. Because when you do, we believe God has a role for you to play. And then week three, we're going to talk about bringing your friends. We talked about inviting for the last 4 weeks. And we're going to talk about it again in 2 weeks because that really is the core of what we're doing. Because as we said, an invitation leads to a transformation. We also believe that when you bring, you bless. So we're going to talk about these things over the next 3 weeks. This week, we're going to specifically talk about joining a circle. Let me explain what a circle is, all right? As I've talked about before, I grew up attending church. We were in church every single week, and I loved it. Like, it was a great experience. I've been in church since I was born, like, and not just Sunday morning church. If the doors were open and there was an activity going on, we were probably there, and one of my parents was probably running it. That was just the way it was. Like, especially the first church I attended was this tiny little church, like this section, one, that was my whole church, right there, just you guys. And so, you know, we were in church all the time. So I've been in church my entire life. But it wasn't until high school when my beliefs began to affect my behavior. And the thing that changed in high school wasn't my church attendance. It was my circle. See, for elementary school and middle school, I had one circle. And then through kind of some things that happened, through God kind of doing some things and me kind of making some choices, in middle school to early high school, my circle changed. And my circle became a circle that liked Jesus and followed Jesus a lot more than my old circle. And wouldn't you know it, I started to follow Jesus more because my circle changed. In high school, I had 4 guys who were my best friends in the world. The 5 of us hung out together all the time, and they loved Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, they were still teenage boys, so we were morons, but we were morons for Jesus, right? We were, and those 4 guys, they were my closest circle. The church I attended had a great youth group. We were a great circle, but those 4 guys, they were my circle, and I am convinced it is by God's grace and by that circle that the choices I made in high school protected me from some of the things, the stories we've talked about from you guys, some of the choices you made, and some of the baggage that you have, and some of the regrets you have were because of your circle. Now, please hear me. It had nothing to do with me. I can't take any credit for it. It was simply the circle that God put me in. In fact, we think circles are so important that in a few weeks, when we begin our grand opening series, we're going to talk about your friends. We're going to talk about circles. We're going to talk about who you're allowing to speak into in your life. But my circle changed when I started high school, and my life changed. My church attendance did not change. My life changed when my circle changed. Went to college, same thing happened. God really blessed me. 2 of my sweet mates in college were also Christians, and they loved Jesus, and we became fast friends, and we would attend church together. Ended up living with those guys, my freshman, sophomore, and junior years. Eventually, I ended up moving into a house. This is going to sound really gross, with five other guys. Six of us lived in a four-bedroom house. We all loved Jesus, but it was disgusting. Like, the fact that a girl ever came over to our house is my first date. My wife came over to my house. Have you ever heard the Ed story when she came over to watch Ed? It was to this disgusting house, and it was disgusting, but it was disgusting for Jesus. And so, me and these five guys, these six guys, you know, they were my circle. And so, again, in college, I had a circle that we just still did dumb things, but we loved Jesus. And so, there were decisions and choices that were made in college that God allowed me to make the wise choice. And not the unwise choice, purely because of my circle. And I'm convinced that I would not be here today, that I would not be playing the role God has for my life had he not blessed me with those circles. Now, my bet is many, if not most of you, have a similar story. You have experienced things happening in your life, and you know your life has been made better or worse by the circle you joined. And the reason I tell this story is because it perfectly illustrates kind of the core value we have as a church and what we're talking about today, right? We believe, as a church, we believe circles are better than rows. We believe circles are better than rows. Circles are what we've been talking about. Circles are my group of friends, the group of people I hang out with, the group of people I do life with, the group of people I do things with. Those groups are better than these rows you're sitting in right now, right? Now, rows are great. Don't get me wrong. We spend a lot of time and a lot of energy at Wellspring in trying to make a great experience in these rows. But here's the problem with rows, right? Rows are safe. Some of you are here today, you're exploring God for the first time, and it's very safe for you to sit in these rows, right? It's dark, I can't really see who you are. You know, you only fill out the information if you want to. You know, you can kind of slip in and slip out. But rows are really safe for people who believe God as well, for Christians, because what happens in a row is you can sit in a row and you can hear something, and you say, yes, that's right. I need to change that about my life. And like when we hear how we all need to be better parents and we need to be better friends, we all kind of nod along. It's like, yeah, we need to change that. Yeah. But here's why rows are too safe. Because I could talk about forgiveness one week. And I could talk about how Jesus wants you to forgive the people who have harmed you in your life. And yes, he even wants you to forgive that person for that thing, the one you're thinking about right now. He wants you to forgive them. And see, you don't like that. You don't want to forgive them. Because what they did was so bad and so wrong, and you can never forgive them, and you can't let them, quote unquote, off the hook. So you're sitting in a row, and you hear it, and you're like, okay, Jesus, I know you want me to forgive. Okay, I'll think about that. And then you walk out, get in your car, get in 501, and you do not think about it. Because your experience of God stopped in the row. Now, if you have a circle, guess what? Your circle is going to talk to you this week and say, hey, what do you think about that message about forgiving? But yeah, I didn't like that at all. Yeah, I don't like it either, But let me tell you a story about, you know, about a year or two ago. We talked about that before, and I prayed about it, and I actually forgave so-and-so. And here's how it's changed my life. And you hear their story, and you're like, really? You forgave that person? Yeah. Well, talk to me about that. And next thing you know, you're talking, and you're hearing their story, and it's giving you some steps to take, and it's giving you the strength to actually make a change for yourself. And so what I want to do today is I want to challenge every person in this room to join a circle today. If you live in Myrtle Beach, you can join a circle here. Now, I know some of you, you're tourists from out of town. We are so thrilled that you're here. You need to go home, find a church you love there, and join a circle there. But even if it is your very first Sunday here, you can join a circle. And here's why we think joining a circle is so important, right? It's because life change begins in rows. It begins right here, but it sticks in circles. Life change begins here. I'm not denying that, man. You hear truth here. You hear things you want to learn. You get motivated. You get excited. But if you want it to stick, you have to join a circle. You have to join a group. You know this to be true. Every January, when you put the New Year's resolution that you're going to lose weight and get in shape, right? The difference between it working and not working is not your desire. For most people, it's whether you join a circle. Most people I know that get in great shape do it because they join a group of people who are all working together, and they all encourage each other, and they all work together, and they challenge each other. TJ, dude's ripped now, right? He's wanted to get in shape since he moved to Myrtle Beach, because I told him, hey, if you live in Myrtle Beach, it's the only place people at the church are going to see you without your shirt on. And he took it seriously, and he got ripped. But it wasn't until he joined a group. He's in that cult called CrossFit. and it changed his life. Many of you have experienced the same thing. Some of you have overcome addiction because you joined a group. Some of you have had some of the biggest changes in your life were because of other people. Maybe it was your friends, maybe it was your family, but I'll bet anything, you did not accomplish it alone. Now, maybe you got the idea alone. Maybe you got the idea in a row. But it wasn't until you joined a circle that the life change actually began to stick, that it actually started working. And so that's why we want you to join a circle today, because we have experienced that it works, because you have experienced that it works. But we don't base what we do just purely on life experience. That would be silly. We base what we do at our church on the truths that we learn from God. And we learn those truths from the people that he sent to talk to us, specifically this guy named Jesus. Maybe you've heard of him. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. We believe Jesus was the Son of God. We believe he lived a perfect, sinless life. We believe he died on the cross for our sins and our mistakes. He paid the price so that we could be reconciled to God. We believe he came back to life on Sunday morning as an example to us that we could too, that we did not have to live the life we were doomed to live, which is separation from God. We could live the life we were created to live, which is to become the man or woman God wants us to be. And Jesus, in the very last thing he ever said while he was on earth, gives us a great example of why circles are better than rows. So we're going to look at Jesus first. Then we're going to look at this guy named Paul. Paul was an early church pastor. He was a church leader. Paul went around and started many of the first churches that we know about. And then, this is so cool, Paul would write them letters. He would write them instructions for how to follow Jesus, for how to live their life. And what we as Christians believe is that God was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters, which means 2,000 years later, we can read these letters and we can know exactly what it is God wants for us in our life right now. So we have Jesus and we have Paul talking about the same thing today, talking about the fact that if you want to become the man or woman God wants you to be, you have to embrace the truth that circles are better than rows. Rows are great. Circles are better. So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew is the first biography of Jesus' life. We have four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was written by this guy. His name was Matthew. And he's telling us a story. He was actually one of Jesus' disciples. So, this is an eyewitness account. And in Matthew 28, this is the very last thing Jesus says. He has died. He's come back to life. He spent about 40 days with his followers. And now he's about to ascend into heaven. They're literally about to watch him float up into the sky. Talk about crazy. But that's what they're about to do. And so he gives them these last instructions. If you grew up in church, you've probably heard of it. It's called the Great Commission. Because he's basically giving us our mission as a church. And here's what he says. He starts out this way. He came to his disciples and he said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In other words, I'm in charge. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I am in charge. So listen to what I'm about to say. He's basically affirming everything he's taught them. I really am the Son of God. I really am the Messiah. I really am the key to everything. So listen to what I'm about to say. And here's what he says. Because all that is true, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. He says, hey, I am who I say I am. You need to go and make disciples. Now, a disciple basically meant a follower. If you are a disciple of a teacher, it meant that you followed that teacher, that you spent as much time as possible with that teacher so that you could learn everything you could learn from that teacher. That was the way Jesus had taught his followers. He had taught his disciples. These were men who had given up their careers for a time. They had left everything to follow him, to spend time with him. Now, we know that they kept in touch with their relatives and everything, so it wasn't like they abandoned them for 3 years. But they said, okay, for this time, we are going to follow you. We're going to go where you want us to go. We're going to do what you want us to do. And then Jesus says, okay, now your job is to go make disciples. Your job is to go make followers. Go do for other people exactly what I've done for you. Now, the reason Jesus had to make this distinction was because every time Jesus taught, he attracted humongous crowds. He would do miracles and people would show up. But we're told in the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church, that at the first church service, there was like 150 people there. So what that means is there was a lot of people who had seen Jesus in a row, but not very many had taken a step to join a circle. See, the people who had come to hear about Jesus but weren't applying what he taught would not have been called disciples. They would have been called spectators because they were coming to observe. They wanted to see what was happening. Some of you are here today and you are spectators. You are here and you are observing what is happening. We are thrilled that you are here. That is an amazing place to start. But what Jesus was telling his followers is, look, it's okay to start as a spectator. But if you really want your life to change, if you really want to accomplish my mission, if you really want to become who God wants you to be, you've got to move past a spectator and become a disciple. You've got to become a follower. And the way you do that is by moving past a row and joining a circle. Jesus gives us some very specific instructions about what that looks like. Here's what he says. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is why baptism is so important to us at Wellspring, because to us, it is your first step in joining a circle. It is your first step in becoming a disciple, becoming a follower of Jesus. And so again, he said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. I am completely and totally in charge. Your job is to go make disciples and baptize them. So all we're trying to do is do what Jesus told us to do. So that's why baptism is your first step. But that's not all he says. This is what he says next. And this is really why we're talking about this today. Because if you've ever heard the Great Commission, you always hear about go and make disciples. I think we kind of skip over this second part. And this second part really explains what that looks like. Here's what he says. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Which makes sense, right? I want you to teach them to do everything that I have taught you to do. He spent 3 years with them. He's saying, teach everything. Now, that sounds easy, right? But this is the part you can kind of skip over. There's another one of Jesus' followers. His name is John. John wrote the fourth biography we have of Jesus' life, called the Gospel According to John. It was John's account. It was John's story about Jesus. And at the end of that book, John says something remarkable. He says, this book only contains a snippet of what Jesus said and what Jesus did. He said, if I tried to write down everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did, all the books in all the world could not contain all the stories. So in other words, he's saying, look, Jesus did so much more than we could tell you here. There's so much more going on. This is just a little bit of it. So you got to remember that. And then Jesus gives his disciples this command, teach them everything. Teach them more than you could possibly write down. Teach them everything I have taught you. See, what Jesus is saying is, you got to teach them the way I taught you. And 52 weeks a year, an hour a week won't cut it. It's a good start. But yet, if you want to teach them everything that I've taught you to do, you got to live with them. You got to get them in a circle. You got to be able to walk with them day to day. Help them when they struggle. You've got to be able to model for them what it is that I've done for them. You got to be able to model for them what it means to follow me when it's hard. You've got to get them out of these safe rows and into circles where they can actually wrestle with some of these issues. You have to teach them everything. How many of you ever heard the phrase that some things are easier caught than taught? You've heard that, right? Following Jesus is easier caught than taught. There's some things I can teach. There's some things you can hear and you can learn. But following Jesus is more learned by doing than by hearing. That's what really Jesus is trying to say. And the way we work on doing is we get past rows and we get into a circle. So Jesus is saying, all right, guys, I'm about to leave. You're in charge. By the way, go teach them everything. And they're probably like, that sounds really hard. You taught a lot of stuff. And that's what Jesus gives them this last verse. It's still true for us today. And it says this, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, look, I know it sounds like a daunting task. I'm telling you, you got to teach them everything. That's crazy. Don't worry. I'm going to be with you. My Holy Spirit is going to lead you. My Holy Spirit is going to change you. My Holy Spirit is going to prepare you to move through you, to transform the world around you. As long as you stay in a circle. As long as you keep trying to put into practice what it is I'm teaching. And wouldn't you know it, that is exactly what the first church did. The book of Acts is a history of the early church. It's the fifth book we have in our New Testament. And it paints a picture of what this actually looks like. We see the very first church coming together in rows and celebrating and singing songs and hearing teaching. But then we also see them gathering together in circles, in homes, praying together, sharing with each other, helping people who are hurting, meeting needs, serving the community, helping out people who can't help themselves, helping the poor. We see this happen. And then we read the letters of Paul, and Paul picks right up. There's not a letter Paul writes where he doesn't encourage believers to spend time together, to encourage each other, to serve together. Paul makes this a very big point in everything he teaches. And then in the book of Ephesians, which is a letter Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, it's almost as if Paul picks up right where Jesus leaves off. Because Jesus basically gives us a great commission, and then Paul explains what it looks like. Because the book of Ephesians is ultimately about the church. It's about us. It's about what God wants to do through the men and women who he's rescued. And how he wants to use them to go and rescue a world that desperately needs him. So it explains how we're going to make disciples of all the nations. It explains how we're going to teach them. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul picks right up and he goes right into the church. And he explains to me and explains to you exactly why these circles, getting past rows and into circles, is so critical. It's so crucial. It is so important. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Why would Jesus need to give gifts to the church? Well, it's because the church is the hope of the world. It's because the church is God's plan to rescue humanity. Earlier in the letter, we are told by Paul that even the angels look at the church and shake their heads in wonder because they can't believe what God has planned. Because it sounds crazy on the face of it. God sent his son to rescue humanity, and then he put within the hands of that same rescued humanity the message and the mission of rescuing the world. What? But God said, don't worry. I've given them some gifts, and they're going to do it. See, he's given us these gifts. He's given us the apostles. Those are the first men who followed Jesus, who actually spent time with Jesus, the ones who wrote the New Testament. That was a gift to us. He's given us the prophets. These were the men that were precursors to Jesus. They were the men that heard from God before Jesus came, and they spoke for God, and they wrote the books that we can read in the Old Testament. Those were gifts to us to understand what it is God wants us to do. Then he gave us the evangelists. These were the men and women who began to spread the word about Jesus in the early world and continued for 2,000 years. And then it says he gave us pastors and teachers, men and women, to lead these churches and to work in these churches and to teach these churches and to prepare these churches. This is where your leaders here at Wellspring come in. We would be the pastors and the teachers that God is using to prepare his church. Here's what Paul says. Talking about us, talking about the leaders. It says their responsibility, my responsibility, is to equip God's people. Now think about that. My job is to equip you. Now equip means to be prepared, but not like a Boy Scout who's just always prepared, which is good. No, equip means to prepare for a purpose, for a very specific task. And we can see what that task is. We're to equip God's people that are sitting in rows to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In other words, we're to gather people together in rows, and we're to equip them to go do the work, to build up the church. What does it mean to build up the church? Well, it means two things. It means to add to the church, to bring new people, and it also means to strengthen the church, to deepen our faith, to better understand exactly what it is God wants us to do. So, what Paul's saying is, these gifts, their job is to equip you and prepare you to do the work. Guess what? You get equipped in rows, but you do work in circles. So you can't do the work, you can't put into practice what it is God wants you to do in here. It's too safe. You have to leave here and put it into practice out there. It's like this. Doctors attend medical school for a long time, and they pay for it for even longer. But eventually, a doctor has to leave the row of medical school and join the circle of a practice because it's time to put into action what he's learned. Same with a lawyer. They eventually have to leave law school and they have to put into practice what they've learned. Same for many of you who were apprenticed. Maybe you're a mechanic or you're an HVAC person, or you know, you have to climb under people's houses, which is just horrifying to me. There was a time where you had to stop learning about that and you had to put it into practice. You had to do it because you can't work in a row. You learn in a row, but you work in a circle. The way we say that here at Wellspring is that we learn in rows, but we apply in circles. It's in a circle that we actually begin to put into practice what it is that we have learned. We move to passive observing, and we move to doing. Now, you may wonder, what does a circle look like at Wellspring? What does that mean? Well, it's all the places where we give you an opportunity to put into practice what you've learned. If you've ever participated in our Love Weekends, those are circles. Those are an opportunity for you to put into action what you have learned serving our community and making friends as you do it. As you arrive today, there's people that were helping you park your cars, that greeted you as you walked in, that checked in your kids, that took your kids, and you thought, you're going to keep them the whole hour? Can I pick them up after night of worship tonight? No, you cannot. You better go get those kids. All those people, they're in circles. They're starting to put into practice, into action, what it is they have learn in here. That's a circle. Another circle that we're actually going to talk specifically about today are what we call small groups or community groups. These are groups of people that get together outside of the weekend environment. They get together in a home. Some of them get together in restaurants. But they get together outside of a weekend environment and they talk about life and they talk about God. Many of them talk about exactly what we talked about in here. And they talk with each other about, man, how are you applying this in your life? How are you applying this in your life? Well, how do you do this? Well, this is how I do it. And you learn from each other and you get to encourage each other and spur each other on to do the things that God wants you to do. And we have all kinds of community groups. We're going to talk about those in just a moment. But it's in these circles where you're actually doing life with these people, and when you're able to share your struggles and talk about it and learn from them and teach them, this is where we believe life change happens. This is where we believe that we are doing our work building up the church, because we're strengthening each other's faith. We're helping each other. We're serving each other. And here's what Paul says. Paul says that this will continue, that we should continue to do this until, now here's good news. If you don't like circles, if you're afraid of circles, there is a deadline. They end at some point. You know what I mean? And Paul's very clear about, you need to be in a circle until, here's what he says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith, we're all united, and we all come to such knowledge of God's Son, we all understand Jesus so well, that we will be mature in the Lord. Here's how he defines maturity in the Lord. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So when you got it all figured out, when you basically are Jesus, you can kiss those circles goodbye. Now, obviously, I'm kidding because this won't happen this side of heaven, right? But here's what I think is amazing. This is why I say that this kind of picks up where the Great Commission left off. What did Jesus say? He said, teach my disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And then Paul says, the church's job is to equip people to do work, to get in groups, to get in circles. And they need to stay in these circles until they become so mature and they have so much knowledge that they measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ until they know everything Jesus wants them to know. I tell you what, it's almost like God is real. It's almost like Jesus and Paul were working together, because Paul perfectly explains how we do what we do. The way we learn what Jesus wants us to learn is by becoming equipped and doing the work. By not just hearing, but by doing, by applying. And the best way to do that is to move past a row into a circle. So, what do I want you to do today? I want you to join a circle. Some of you say, Trey, it's my first Sunday here. I don't care, join a circle. As I said at the top, we invite people to belong before they believe. That means you can join a circle here without believing anything, we believe it's okay. Because it's still your next step, is to move past these rows and get into a circle. Because, as I've said multiple times, we believe circles are better than rows. We just do. We believe it because it's what Jesus taught. We believe it because it's what Paul taught. We believe it because it's what the first church modeled. And we believe it because every man, woman, and child at this church who has had their lives transformed by Jesus began their journey in a row, but the transformation stuck in a circle. It stuck in a group. It stuck when they decided to join a group of people who were going to help them put into practice what they were learning. Because we learn about Jesus in rows. We become like Jesus in circles. And if you're here today, your goal might have started out to learn about Jesus. I understand that. But if you want your life to change, if you want there to be any value from this experience, if you want there to be any value from learning about God, you have to become like Jesus. It doesn't stop with learning about Jesus. We then become like Jesus, which means we're able to love like Jesus, and we're able to live like Jesus, and we're able to forgive like Jesus, and we're able to find peace and contentment and satisfaction like Jesus. And just so you know why this matters for grand opening, the more we become like Jesus, the more God is able to use us to transform the world. So here's my challenge today. Join a circle. Actually, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to give you an opportunity to join circles. Today, the specific circle we're talking about are community groups. Small groups of people that meet throughout the week to talk about their faith, to get help from each other, and to wrestle with what it is we're learning in here and figure out how to put it into practice. We have community groups which meet in homes and couples and singles and all those types of things. We have men's Bible studies. We have women's Bible studies. We have this amazing thing that we call Starting Point, which is for people who are brand new to their faith. Or maybe you're just coming back to God. Maybe you're coming back to the church from a long absence and you just have questions about, why should I read the Bible? How do I read the Bible? Help me understand all this. We have a group called Starting Point that is for you. Students, we have groups for you as well. We have small groups that we want you to be a part of because we believe you as well need to be in circles rather than rows. And so when I dismiss today, you're going to have the opportunity to go out and join a circle. If you reach in front of your in the chair back in front of you, there's two things in there. One is this big, beautiful list of all our CGs. Go ahead and get that out and look at it. And for all the extroverts in the room, what I want you to do is take this list. When we're done, every group leader is going to be out in the lobby. I want you to go meet all of them. I want you to go have conversations with them and just get your little extrovert on. Just enjoy it. Now, for the introverts like me, who that makes you want to have a panic attack to go meet new people, there's a second card for you in the back of the chair. All you have to do today is fill out this card, and there's going to be ushers at the door. Just drop it in there, because meeting new people is not something you're going to do. You don't want to do that, but you know you should join a circle. You know you should take this step. Fill out this card, and we'll have someone contact you this week and talk to you about the best group that'll be the best fit for you. So, extroverts and introverts, everybody's covered today. So there is no excuse for you not to join a circle. Because circles are better than rows. Because we learn about Jesus in rows. We become like Jesus in circles. So, in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to release you to go sign up. If you're an introvert, you can go ahead and start filling out that card right now. It will not hurt my feelings. If I see you looking down, I'll assume you're filling out the card. So if you need to text somebody, do it now, because I don't think you're filling out your card. But I want to say one more thing, and we're done. One more thing. Every time I preach on circles, and every time I talk about circles, there's always the small group of people who kind of take the attitude of, Trey, I just don't really get much out of circles anymore. I just don't really get much out. I kind of think I'm beyond a small group. And what I want to say to them is, really? So you've got the love your neighbor as yourself thing down. You've mastered that. But I don't, because my wife says I can't be that mean. So that's not what I say. But I will say this, no matter who you are today, there is something you can get out of a circle, because we all have a step to take. But let me help you. Let's just say that you are so mature and you are so advanced in your faith that you've got all these things figured out. Well, then you should join a group more than anybody else. Because what if God wants to use you in your circle, not for what you can get, but for what you can give? For the lessons you can teach to somebody else. See, we are never more like Jesus than when we are giving, than when we are passing on what we have learned. Jesus didn't get anything from us. He didn't need anything from us. He came to serve. He came to give. So if we want to become like Jesus and we think we've got it all figured out, that just means more and more. We got to give. We got to give a ton. We got to give it all. We got to get in those groups because there's going to be couples who they haven't figured out teenagers like you have. There's going to be people who they can't make it work between work and spouse and they haven't figured that out yet. There's going to be people who, man, their marriage is on the rocks. They can't figure out how to overcome that issue that you and your spouse have overcome. So good, congratulations. If you don't think you can get anything out of a group, then more than anybody else, you should sign up. Because God has perfectly positioned you to change someone's life. He wants you to give all you can so that their life can be changed. So I'm going to pray for us. And when I'm done, I want you to join a circle. Either fill out your card or go out there in the lobby and sign up. Because the more we sell out to the circle, the more we apply what it is God is teaching us, the more we allow Him to transform us, the better positioned we are for Him to use us to change the world. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for...
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.
To move past the road into a circle. And they're a group of men, a group of women, a group of students, a group of people who we can trust and that we can walk together as we seek to allow you to change our lives. Father, make it real to us that we learn about you in rows, we become like you in circles. Give us the strength today to take a step and to join a circle so that we can become better positioned to be the men and women you want us to be. So that you can use us to change Myrtle Beach forever. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.